Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. I went all Jason Davies there from the start. I'm your host, John. Tonight here to talk to you about Crystal Palace 2, Arsenal 3. Somebody got their prediction right tonight. Actually, two people did. Me and Carl got exactly the right scoreline. I stole mine from Stan Collymore. Well, you know, Stan knows all. Anyway, I'm joined by tonight Mr. Danny, the GFP. There he is, looking wonderfully Christmassy.
Yeah, I certainly am. It's they're all coming down. Normally, I don't like them to come down to the middle of January, but Sean's going back to uni on the 6th. They're coming down then, no matter how many times I cry or stamp my feet.
Lovely stuff. Stab your feet. What are you going to stab your feet on?
I take my shoes off and just bang them on the table. That's as close as I can get. I only own two pairs of shoes and I only wear one of them. Waste of money, really.
We've already gone completely off the rails. This is what happened when Jace isn't here. We're also joined by someone who actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to football, Mr. Josh Dorr. Right, Josh, how are you doing?
Thank you, John. Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. It was nice to see a wonderful game of football after enduring Forest Green Rovers Carlisle United at the weekend.
They're an entire vegan team, aren't they, Forest Green?
They are, but they have been caught in Greggs a number of times, but, you know...
Scandal. Are they really a vegan team?
Yeah, the whole team and club's vegan.
They can run for 20 minutes without all passing out.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's a first.
The menu's all vegan as well, which means only chips.
Done in virgin's tears.
So just say a quick hello to everyone in the chat box. We've got Dan Fry, Carly Elguna, N235, Daniel Kupka, Rudy Restos, Neil Vegler, Stephen Edwards, Daz316, Yaz Guna, Schwinn Lacker Gunman, Stephen Edwards, Junior Gunner, David Lancaster, Walrus and the Hedgehog. If I've missed anyone, apologies. Jeffrey O'Hara is in there as well. Viking. Thierry Renry. Everyone's in tonight. Daniel Cronin, thank you always for joining us. Yeah, sorry, no Chris or Jace tonight. Jace is back for New Year's, I think. Yeah, he's on with me, isn't he? Anyway, should we get to the game? Let's get started.
Are you doing New Year's Eve as well?
Am I what?
Are you doing New Year's Eve as well?
Yeah, I'm doing New Year's Eve as well. So I think it's me and Jace, unless you're about, Danny.
Yeah, I'm about. Yeah, Sian's abandoned me. She's going to an old school rave night in Sheffield. Fucking hell.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Maybe the big boxes and the little boxes.
Right, anyway, enough nonsense. On to the game. Different lineup tonight. Switch to a back three. Danny, I'll come to you first. Is this the way you want to see us to set up? We actually had players in the right positions, playing their preferred positions. I thought the back three was kind of done with, but Arsene looks like he's going to change it depending on the opponent for a change.
Yeah, that seems to be in the modern way. Next thing you know, he'll be doing defensive training and handing out team sheets, letting the players know about the team playing, the players on the other side that we're playing against. I like it. I was a little bit concerned that Koscielny was playing at left centre-back and Mustafi playing in the middle, because I thought, you're going to have either Zaha or Townsend pelting down the left or the right-hand side. And I'd use Koscielny much like I'd use Per Mertesacker, stick him in the middle and use your years of wisdom and defending while everyone else is running around you. But they don't. He played him at the left one, and yeah, I'm not sure why he did that. But he got an opta rating of 6.8, but Mustafi in the middle, 8.4 and a goal. Magnificent. Yeah, so I do like him changing the formation depending on who we're playing. But that can work in one of two ways. If you mirror the other team, then it's going to be a bit of a standoff at times. But if you don't mirror it, then that you can maybe catch them on a break by having two players on one. But there again, they can do the same to you. So this is why I'm not a football manager.
Yeah, very good. I think the Koscielny thing is more, he's got that bit more pace than Mustafi. Mustafi's a better organiser. He's a bit louder than Koscielny, isn't he?
I do like the loudness of him. He's the Jason Davies of that team. He may not be captain, but he fucking acts like it.
Certainly not an introvert. Josh, was this something you were expecting before the game tonight, the switch of formation, or did it come as a bit of a surprise to you as well?
I think of what Arsene said in his presser about Kolasinac, about not really enjoying it in a back four, then if we were going to bring him back into the team, which I think needed to happen, then the back three also needed to happen. I think Mustafi plays through the middle because he's better on the ball than Koscielny, for at least those long range passing, whereas Koscielny can carry the ball a bit better. And then Chambers last season on the right, he was playing there consistently for Middlesbrough, who arguably were a very well set up defensive team, although did ultimately get relegated, but that's no fault of his, rather than the fact they didn't score any goals. But by the way, so seeing Chambers in that position, I was happy for that to happen. And this is a team that almost on, not necessarily form, but fitness, almost picks itself. And I think for that, I couldn't really have any complaints.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit surprised at the change. I did think that, you know, back four is what he prefers. But I think there is an element of changing for the team you're facing, which is nice to see, which is something I've certainly criticised Arsenal for in the past. But also maybe to do with rotation because of the number of games you've got at the moment. And you have to try and get what you can out of the players you've got on the pitch. Going into the game and starting it off, I thought we started okay. Decent pressure, but we saw what was going to happen very early on, Josh, that we would have some possession, push forwards. I thought our movement at the start of the game was actually quite good, and Ozil and Sanchez in particular from the start looked quite bright. And Palace were obviously looking to break using the pace of Zaha in particular, but Townsend as well early on.
Yeah, I think we looked to contain them quite well. I think immediately when Zaha got on the ball, he was surrounded by three players and Chambers facing him up. I think, unfortunately, when he ended up with that yellow, that kind of castrated him a little bit when it came to actually getting a tackle in on Zaha. But ultimately, I think at the time when he put in that tackle to stop the breakaway going, that it was a yellow. Perhaps, you know, we can't moan about a player being cynical, especially a defensive one, when we've been crying out for it for God knows how long. So otherwise, I think, yeah, defensively look really good, really solid. I can't really remember Benteke's name being mentioned, and I think that was probably the biggest worry after Zaha, because we know how he can turn up in a game against us or any kind of big hulking centre forward. So I think Mustafi and Koscielny did really well containing him. And yeah, the same with Townsend. He didn't really appear to the second half when I think they got a wocket up their ass, so to speak.
A wocket for Moy. Yeah. Danny, we did start off, I thought, a little bit slow, as we have done a lot this season, but it wasn't like previous games where we'd wait until half-time. Sort of within 10 minutes, we upped the tempo and really started applying pressure to Palace. And Alexis, who obviously we'll talk about his goals and stuff, but he looked to be very much on it. It was very different from the Alexis we've seen in the last couple of games, wasn't it?
It was. I put here, fourth minute, lovely work from Sanchez, got the ball in the midfield, ran to the edge of the box, did a 1-2-1 with Ozil. And I thought from that moment, oh, this is going to look good. He's definitely up for it tonight. Because sometimes you can see quite early on in the game that Sanchez will run around like a headless chicken for 10 minutes and then slowly fade towards half-time. And then after half-time does absolutely nothing. And then for 8 minutes, Sanchez looking very involved, being part of all three main pushes so far in the first 10 minutes. And that was really good to see. And I'd like to know what is the trigger to make him do that, because there's got to be some reason why sometimes he'll turn up for it and other times he won't. Because I can't really remember seeing a player with so much skill who will one day be there or half hour be there and then the next half hour not be there. It's just so strange to see, but tonight is one of his good nights. But I think he's burnt too many bridges with most Arsenal fans now. Like Gimli was going a little bit mental with him, tweeting about him midweek saying he can fuck off. I, as much as I love Sanchez, I do think that it's best for him if he does leave the club and bugger off, because he's not going to do this on a regular basis. But in years to come, when we look back at Sanchez highlights, we'll look at the stuff and go, wow, how did we not win the league with a player like that at the club for 4 years?
Yeah, his goal scoring record is ridiculous. He's a 1-in-2 goal scorer for a winger, which is just basically unheard of.
And then when you include the number of assists that he's been involved in, like they say, like last season it was 27 goals and 11 assists. That's 38 goals he was involved in.
Yeah,
you think, like you said, from a winger, that's truly astounding.
Yeah, and I mean, even this season where he has been very, very poor for his standards. He's still got six goals so far this season already?
I think he's joint top goal scorer.
Yeah, so you know, he's definitely not having anywhere near the sort of seasons he had previously for us, but tonight he was close to back to his best. And the best thing that I liked tonight was he's actually tracking back as well, which we've really been missing, because that was one of his big pluses in the games where, you know, even if he weren't getting the goal, he was always helping the team out and working hard. Josh, I want to jump straight into the first goal, Mustafi. Amazing finish from him. But just talk us through the goal and also from Lacazette's shot that led up to it as well, because I thought that was a really, really good effort for a guy who didn't have a lot tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I think the chance that Lacazette had, where he kind of came out and had a really tight angle to go for, was probably the best option that we had, really, because, you know, there's about playing the percentages and just getting a shot on target and gambling that either the keeper's going to miss it or palm it away was a better option than really just putting a straight cross in. And I think ultimately we saw that it resulted in a goal. Spironi's one of those goalkeepers, you know, that will have an absolute worldie against us. I think he's already had a couple at his time at Palace, and I was a little bit worried that we'd, you know, never beat him. It'd be like one of those games. But to get it fairly early on the board to beat him, I was fairly happy. I mean, it was interesting to see we got something. We got something so early on as well, and from more or less a set piece situation, because I don't think that has been great for us at all. Lacazette certainly had a torrid time today. I'm sure we'll go into him in more detail, but for now, yeah, I think we'll move on there.
Yeah, he had a mixed night, to say the best, but yeah, we'll come on to that after we've sort of done the game. Danny, just that finish from Mustafi, that's a bit special for a centre-half, isn't it? On the half volley at that angle, I was not expecting that at all. That is a striker's finish.
That is. We saw two in the same game, because the Bellerin one was even more impressive. But from such a narrow angle, just to complete it, because he didn't know the ball was coming to him, did he? I don't even know why he was standing there. He'd probably get a club fine for being so far up the pitch. But considering that during the game, he was our furthest back player, outfield player, most of the game, because he got Chambers and Koscielny defending the flanks. For him to be that far up, I didn't even see him come up there. He's quickly turning into one of my favourite players, if for no other reason than that big fucking ginger beard. He reminds us of our very own Jason Colonial Cannon, who's just done an interesting tweet today. So if you
thanks, Danny.
At Colonial Cannon, you've got the second best ginger beard.
You're growing ginger beard envy.
Yeah, because you're only 4'2" and really fat, apparently. Or is it the other way around?
Other way around.
Josh. He's quite a tall, slender gentleman, ladies. So if you know where Brighton is, and you can go down there and put him in a cage and keep him. Stop it. I'm wandering off into nonsense-ness now. Yes, yeah, I was impressed. It was a really good goal and a really good control. And he's going to be one of those central defenders that is often on the end of a goal, but not like in the old way where you had Adams and Bold and Keown and maybe Sol Campbell, where they'd all be headers. No. He's putting him in any old how that he wants. What a great player.
He's got a touch of the Vermaelens about him for when he was putting it in.
Oh, don't jinx him.
Vermaelen's having a good run up. He's back in the Barcelona starting team, and he's had 16 games for Barcelona in 3 seasons. He ain't lost yet.
Yeah, still again, well. It's nice. I was always disappointed it never worked out for him. Always liked Vermaelen.
Yeah, so did I. That was my reply to him when someone was on about it. Yeah. Always liked him.
But great goal from Mustafi, and it was nice in a game to see where the previous run of games we've had good pressure and stuff in games, maybe not quite enough end product, and we didn't get a goal from it. But we actually got our first. It wasn't even a like clear chance. It was only a half chance, really, and we put it away. After that, I think, you know, Palace were really struggling. They couldn't get out of their own half. They were just booting it straight up to, you know, Mustafi was picking it up on a halfway line or Koscielny, and we were recycling it really fast. And then we had, I think it was after the goal, really good chance for Ozil, Josh. Alexis, again, who started to play some of those passes that we'd seen from last year and the year before. A really nice ball inside the channel, perfectly timed for Ozil to run onto. Do you think he should have done a bit better?
Yeah, I think after the finishes that we've seen from him, I did think initially, but we haven't really seen the angle from it, is whether or not he's gone for that bounce pass or shot that he's prone to doing.
Yeah, I did wonder that the first time he hit it. I thought, oh, is he going to do the bounce?
He'd gone for that, and whether or not Spironi's actually read it, because how he's doing that is kind of giving the keeper the eyes, looking that he's going to hit it low, does the motion to hit it low, but then the ball just bounces up. So whether or not Spironi's done that, because you do see his arm come up to cover. So I'm not sure necessarily whether or not he's gone for it, but obviously without the benefit of a better angle, I can't really tell what he was going for, because to be honest, that bounce pass or bounce shot or whatever you want to call it, the Ozil shot, has come off pretty well for him across the number of weeks. And that one I was less irritated about, because, you know, you can't expect like a central midfielder or a number 10 to be scoring every shot he has. That's something you expect almost from your strikers. But at least he got it on target, and we'll probably go to his other chance in a bit.
Yeah.
Have we covered the feigning injury by Zaha yet? I just looking through at the 20th minute, Zaha feigned injury by Jack, and the TV missed it. And then when they panned across from behind the goal, you saw that Zaha and Wilshere just bump into each other. And Zaha laying on the floor, and then he got up, and then he was shaking and going, "What's going on?"
Yeah, there was quite a few times in the first half he was really moaning at the ref. He got booked, didn't he? Bang on half time, he got yellow cards.
It was Kabaya. Kabaye and Jack were also at it. Jack did Kabaye, then Kabaye did Jack again. So Jack was really in the wars. It's really good to see him doing that and not getting injured.
But yeah, we've been saying it last couple of games. It's nice to see him putting big tackles in, taking really hard tackles. The ones where you can hear it through the TV. You always get that, oh, God, that's terrible. He's not going to get up. But he's been getting up every time. So it's tough good when to he see.
Got in the face, that one. Oh, in the face in this weather. Oh, that's going to chafe.
Hey, he was on the receiving end of 7 fouls today as well.
And it's good that he's taking it and he's not going mental and getting booked for it for retaliation.
Yeah, he won some. I think he might have won the free kick that led to Mustafi's goal, actually. The other Ozil chance in the first half, Danny. I don't know if you remember it. This time, again, Alexis plays him in and he takes, I thought was a good touch, Ozil, and then for some reason decides not to shoot and squares it to, is it Lacazette in the box? It might be Lacazette or Bellerin. But he just completely misplaces the pass. It's really far behind them and they have to sort of move further out to the 18-yard box. Again, second time. I'm not trying to dig Ozil out because obviously the recent run of games, he's been probably our best player and he's been scoring goals and making goals. But tonight he really seemed to be a little bit off it. Again, there, do you think he should have gone for goal or is it just a really bad pass and he made the right decision but just didn't pull it off?
I think it's going to be hard for him because it's a little bit like when you're playing, when you first pick up a game of FIFA and you really just think, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. Once you get into the flow after a couple of games in, you're just doing stuff on reaction. I think that maybe it was a little bit like that for him, that he thinks everyone else is working at the same space and speed that he is working at. And sometimes I think he's... He may even dip into the future. It's like an episode of Star Trek where he momentarily goes into a parallel universe in the future and he sees what's going on and then he does the pass and no one's there because it's all made up. But he is so he sees the game differently to everybody else, doesn't he? You know, like one of those Quantum Flux episodes of Star Trek or something like that where they're dipping out of reality into another one. I think that must be what Ozil is doing.
Oh, Quantum Leap. Quantum Flux. Fucking hell. Yeah.
I do know what the difference between Quantum Leap, the TV show, and Quantum Flux is. Quantum Flux sounds like I know what I'm on about when it comes to science, when I don't.
A flux capacitor.
Hey. That was on again. That was on again over Christmas. I watched a bit of it.
Yeah, watch that with my nephew. He'd never seen it before. He was amazed by the trainers that do themselves up.
I was amazed by how HD quality it looked. So they must have had a really decent transfer of that because it didn't look aged at all.
Oh, Jace is going to fucking whinge about this, isn't he?
Get on with it, you bastards. With it, you shit.
Oh, dear. Now, I mean, other than that, I don't think we had too many real chances in the first half, but I thought overall the first half, it was a much better performance than what we've seen in previous games. We got a goal. Yes, we didn't take all our chances, which in the end didn't come back to bite us, but could have, obviously. And I thought we really curtailed Palace and kind of put them in their place. Josh, what did you think of the first half? Because I can't really remember Palace creating too much.
No, I think we contained them pretty well in the first half. I don't think they were that... dominant. I think that's why we got such a strong response from them in the second, because of how poor they were in that first half. The fact that every time, you know, the ball was coming back out from a clearance from them, it was landing at the feet of another Arsenal player, that even Selhurst Park were getting irritated by that and started booing their team because of the fact they weren't really offering anything in that first half. And as we saw how many times we managed to carve them open, and perhaps I think there was a little bit of a issue with how Lacazette seems to still be trying to bed in to this team. You know, when he was at Lyon, the players that he was with in his last season, he's been playing with for over 10 years, you know, since youth. So that's a big amount of, you know, a big relationship he's got there with that front four that he was working with. And you can't replicate that in 5 months. So it was quite interesting to just see that, you know, there were a couple of instances where the ball was flashed across the face of goal. And I thought at the time, if you've got Giroud there, he's on the end of that, at least one of those, and he's flicking it in, or at least putting a shot in. And Lacazette seemed to be caught on his heels at that time, but I don't blame him, because the what we create from the wide areas is so erratic. You know, yeah, he was probably expecting it in the air or a pullback. So until he understands that, because at the best of times, we, you know, us as Arsenal fans barely know what a player's going to do when he goes out wide for us. You know, we just expect, all right, goal kick, and then they'll march back. So, from that point of view, I think it was I was fairly happy with going in at 1-0, to be honest. And I thought we'd be able to create from it if we managed to control the, you know, first half of the second half, so to speak. Yeah. So it's opening minutes.
So Danny, jumping into the second half, we did exactly the opposite of that. we felt a bit instantly. Do you want to talk us through Andros Townsend's goal?
Yeah, I've put 48th minute. Bellerin having a wander. Chambers doing his best to cover for him. I think Bellerin may well have been writing a little bit of poetry or composing some 17th century sonnets. And just thinking, oh, wander lonely as a cloud or whatever that nonsense is. And then, oh, look, there's a man with a ball. He's not wearing our kit. Oh, it's all right. Matey boy will sort him out, as well as covering at centre-back. He can cover at right-back. Turns him inside out. Zaha crosses. No one moves for it. And then there you go, ding dong, goal. I remember thinking, this isn't going to go down well at all, is it? Because our entire game for the first half and up to then was relying on the counter-attack. We can't carry on doing that, because when you've got people like Townsend on one side, Zaha being as a striker or on the other side, that was going to happen sooner or later, was it? We were going to get caught out, because Bellerin just doesn't seem to give a shit. I know Gim Lee has just put back in the chat box. I can look back for this because... Was he put? Oh, Fat Dano. That's not very nice, Gimli. Oh, Steve's there as well. Gimli put something. Is everyone else fucking fed up with Bellerin? Is it about time that he went? I think Bellerin, if Wenger nurtures our players from the day that they hatched out of their little Wenger eggs, and he nurtures them through to full adulthood, then he doesn't drop them. Debuchy could go and have the greatest run of games in his life in every other competition, but he's never going to drop Bellerin for him. But it's just annoying that it seems to be that he is the boo boy at the moment, and I think he's lapping it up, because every time we boo him, every game that he has a bad game, he's one step closer to going back to Barcelona, I think. But yeah, it is worrying.
Yeah, I don't think it was just Bellerin that's at fault for that goal. Chambers, in particular in the second half, was getting caught cold quite a lot by Zaha, but also he wasn't being helped out much, and he was clearly Zaha was clearly told to target Chambers, which in a straight race is going to win that. I actually thought Callum Chambers did all right in the first half and made some really good tackles on Zaha, made him look a bit of a tit, but
just took a while before Chambers realised you couldn't let him get in on his good foot.
Yeah. Josh, that goal from Townsend, letting Zaha in is the first mistake in the goal anyway. Bellerin and Chambers sort of both can drive to let that happen. But then from the other side, Townsend just walks in completely unopposed. No one picks him up whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a really odd one there, because I think when you look at our defensive line, that when you look at it, you're like, well, that's a good coverage that we've got initially. But the run that Townsend takes, there's just no depth to how we've formed up in that defence. And yeah, as you say, no one tracks him and he just comes in. And still, when he comes into that, I still don't think he's going to score, because, you know, that guy is so erratic with his shooting. But lo and behold, he manages to place it nicely into the bottom corner. And to be honest, because there's so many bodies in that box, because, you know, it's not like an Arsenal goal where we've conceded that no one's available in the box. This is one where the players have actually got back. So for part of it, you've got to say, well, actually, that's a good job. At least the players are at least back in the box for once, to look to actually do something defensively. But yeah, the run that he makes and to slot it in past an unsighted check, because I don't think he even really goes for it once he sees it hit. So
yeah I don't think there's any fault at check
for that goal. No, I can't put it on him at all, as much as potentially I'd like to try. But I think that Townsend, I think once you saw it, you were like, that's just a good goal. I can't really say anything about it, because that movement's superb.
The thing that annoys me the most about it is after the goal goes in, you see, obviously, as the goal's going in, you've got Kolasinac there, Koscielny. I'm not sure where Alexis is, although you would hope he's at least with who was on the right back for them. Kelly was their right back. So he should technically be with Kelly, I suppose. And Jack's also there in the box as well. And all three of them just sort of look at each other and kind of like, oh, well, was that supposed to be you who had him? And Mustafi as well, who's sort of semi-covering the near post, and Zaha if he goes past Chambers. So they're kind of a little bit lack of whose responsibility it was.
Yeah, that run from Townsend, if you're kind of marking them zonally, moves about through about three or four people's different zones. And as personally, if I was out on that, you know, playing left back or left wing back, I would have handed him over at that point.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's gone past me. And I think,
And
I think just there's no communication at that point, because you've got someone odd in the box you don't expect in Jack Wilshere.
Yeah.
Who in theory should be tracking, could be tracking that run, but doesn't, because he's got a better view of it than the defenders. But otherwise, I don't really understand what's gone on there. And I think it is just communication that they haven't really handed the man off, and there's been too much of an assumption in that. And fundamentally, that of that back five, you know, two of those are new to that position in Chambers and Kolasinac. So that's probably where most of the communication issue comes from.
Yeah.
We have Zaha. West London and Goonies just asked, if we sell Sanchez this window, would you make a bid for Zaha, who the rumours are that he's off to Spurs?
Zaha's a weird one. When he went to United, I saw lots of people going, oh, he's not worth that money and whatever. And I said, you have to take into account he's English and it's Manchester United, so they're going to extract a bigger fee as possible. I was trying to take money out of the equation for the player. He's clearly a very talented player there. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out at United. He does seem like he is a little bit of a confidence player, like his head can drop. I haven't watched him enough, you know, to have a real decent opinion. But what I saw tonight, you see good things and bad things from him, clearly. You know, he missed a very good chance. But he can clearly beat a man one-on-one or two or three people at times. Whether Arsene Wenger's the right coach for him, I don't know. Maybe he's past that age now. If he was 16 still, then yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a group of, you know, those wingers that we're looking, or inside forwards that we're looking at the moment from teams outside the top six that we're interested in January, or at least as fans we're interested in January to potentially replace Alexis, because you've got Mahrez in that group as well.
Yeah.
And personally, if it's a toss-up between the two, then Mahrez wins every day of the week.
Mahrez is the more silky, he's the more natural Arsenal player.
Yeah, I think the good thing for Zaha, for him at the moment, is now that he's switched his allegiances from England to Ivory Coast, I want to say.
Yeah.
That at least that English spotlight has moved away from him, so he's not going to get that kind of kind of media attention that someone like Raheem Sterling gets.
Yeah, everything's lumped on him. He's
exactly
the future of England, like Jack got, and
Theo got, and Ox got, and you know, we can name 100 players that have been touted the next X, Y, and Z for England, and at least he's away from that.
Yeah.
So I think, to be honest, if I've got the option of Mahrez or Zaha from a winger outside of the top six, then I'm going for Mahrez, to be honest.
He had a good run in the Champions League last season. 4 goals. I know he scored a few. 4 goals in 9 games and all competitions this season. He's got 7 in 22, but I think they have slightly rejigged the formation, and he is playing he's coming from the right-hand side and playing more in like the Sanchez-Ozil role.
He's playing directly behind Vardy now, because they've got Damari Gray, who's playing out there now.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, but
I do like Zaha. I think any player like that, it's always going to be a gamble whether it works or not. And it might be a case of that team takes a gamble and it works out. It didn't work out for United for whatever reason, but I could see him being a top 4 player.
I think he just needs to keep away from the manager's daughter and he'll be all right.
Yeah.
He's 23, he's just got 25, and he's played 8 games for the Ivory Coast and scored 2 goals after playing 2 games for England. Probably both friendlies then, aren't they? If he's
move on.
He's got a decent goal scoring record for a winger. He's got 20 and 128 for Palace, but
he's very streaky. That's the problem. But just a couple more quick shout outs to people in the chat. No Limit Stummer, Turnit Surprise 88, Colito El Guna, Michael Hanuman, Sakin Soj, I hope I said that right, David Lancaster, and then Guna, Rick James, Loki 73, Brian O'Leary. Hello, hello. Apologies if I missed anyone, but good to see you all here.
We have O'Leary there.
Yeah.
Not two of the legendary Pierce O'Leary.
Now, his brother. So we go goal down. They get the equaliser. And I certainly feared the worst. We had a little 5-minute wobble, as we do in these games. You know, Palace put on some good pressure, and to be fair, they probably could have got another goal. Chambers and Bellerin in particular were really getting sort of roasted down that side by Zaha. But it was our little Chilean who, you know, was having a good game up to that point, but I don't think anyone was really singing his praises. I saw a few people at halftime saying, oh, you know, Alexis is doing better for once. But he scored an absolutely magnificent goal. Danny, that finish, I thought Mustafi's angle was tight.
it was magnificent. But I think building up to the that was just before that, one of the most amazing passes I've seen from Arsenal in many years. That one from Bellerin, where Bellerin used actual physical kickoff, the computer game after touch, to go around the defender and land right in front of Lacazette. I thought, oh, how the hell has he done that? I didn't even know that was possible with modern physics and flux capacitors. That's what he did. He borrowed those flux capacitors.
I think that was a miss kick. No, I'm joking.
it was brilliant. But yeah, that Lacazette must get quite a bit of praise for tonight, because he was really working his ass off, and he had two or three, four people on him, and he was still twisting and turning, and he never gave up, which is why he looks so fucked off when's Danny going to shave his beard? He needs a trim. How dare you, sir? This is my winter beard. I backcomb it when my head's cold. So I put here, great layoff by Lacazette, and Sanchez spanked it. Great build-up. Lacazette is working so hard. It's good to see that Lacazette is not just there to, Chris is always saying, he's not there just to score goals. That isn't his game. He has an understanding with those front three, the ALO, YOL, whichever one you want to call it. And it's wonderful to see. And they are gelling really quick, and now they seem to be gelling away from home as well as at home, which is what we need. And people can go, oh, it's only Crystal Palace, but it's a Crystal Palace team that are, what, 8 games unbeaten in the Premier League since Warriors got there. They're not an easy team to break down, plus at home they've got one of the loudest and most fun home crowds to watch, and a really, really good home crowd. And so it's... it's really good. I enjoyed seeing that, and it's good for Sanchez to get one. And as soon as he got one, you thought, oh, here we go. It, all aboard the Sanchez train, woo-woo, and off it went.
Yeah, and it really did go off, didn't it, Josh? Because it was only a couple of minutes later and he got his second.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, have we got a Jack Wilshere fanboy on here that wants to talk through the goal, or shall I do it instead? Jack plays a pass that Jack has been doing all game, and now it's a worldie because Alexis actually makes a run for it. But yeah, in seriousness, it's a really good ball over the top, bringing back long ball football to Arsenal Football Club. And Sanchez takes a touch, beats his man, and slots it down the inside of Speroni, who I think is really at fault for the two Alexis goals, to be honest, because I think he should have saved the first one at the near post. And the second one was, same again, but really, really good goal. And you thought, right, from this, we could see it out. It's a bit like when we scored the third against Liverpool as well. They got quick goals in succession. I go, I think we can shut up shot here. I reckon we can keep this and we can see it out. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I should stop drinking.
It's about that Wilshere thing a little bit more. How many times has a player in midfield got the ball and put it over the entire of the defence? And it wasn't long ball football. It was in from his own half to the foot. It was almost like he stuck a first class stamp on it and hand delivered it to Sanchez.
It's long pass football when we do it. When Stoke do it, it's long ball football.
That's it. You've perfectly summed it up there. That thing, already for me, is pass and goal of the season. I don't care who else does anything. And you can score your 700 goals a season in a calendar year, but you're never going to beat that.
It was a really... I mean, I don't want to take away from the goal, because it was a beautiful pass, and Alexis' first touch is amazing, and how he does that between two defenders, and we've seen him do that kind of thing, but every time it still gets me. It brings back memories of when you saw Dennis and Thierry bringing the ball down, and, you know, having players of that skill in the squad again is great. And, you know, the finish in the end was comfortable, and I think Josh is right, Speroni could do better, but the defending from Palace is shocking. I had Danny Murphy. Was he doing the Sky commentary? I think. And he said earlier in the game, he's like, that always annoys me as a midfielder. Why a defender just pumps a straight long ball up to a striker? It's so easy to defend because we've done it a couple of times in the game. I think Chambers and Mustafi have tried it. And it's true. If you just do a straight ball, it's as a centre after. Oh, thank you. I'll have that all day long. But just that one time, Alexis was just banging position and Jack saw it quick enough. And yeah, just beautiful goal. As for the whole Jack's
way back. Way down his thigh.
Yeah. Jack back. We'll get onto that. There's some dissenting voices.
What? Are they Welsh?
I'm not saying it's me. I'm just saying there's a few people. They're not criticising Jack. They're just saying, you know, maybe curb your enthusiasm a little bit.
Will be no curbing. If he was Welsh, Jason would fucking love him. Even if Wilshere had lamb kebabs for dinner, Jason would claim him as one of his fucking own. That Wilshere is the man running our midfield at the moment, and it is absolutely magnificent. And when that shitbag Ramsey comes back, he ain't getting a job. He ain't getting a place. He'll be on the bench. How about that, Davis? How do you like them onions?
He's only saying that because Jace isn't here. then, I thought after that we controlled the game fairly well for a while. We had Xhaka go down with what looked a little bit worrying at the time. I thought he was dead and that was it. And our midfield was going to be poor Jack Wilshere on his own and he'd have to play with the cock, for a couple of games, which no one wants to see. No one wants to see Jack with the cock.
Not in this weather. I rewound that three times for the Xhaka bit and I missed a bit where he went, Shamo! Slapped his hands together and then went to the move. I missed that bit. The camera was on him.
Yeah, no, I was terrified when he went down like that. I was like, oh, God, no. That's it. Arsene, being sensible, we're 3-1 up. Palace are obviously going to have a push towards the end of the game. Xhaka looks like... he didn't come off then, did he? He came off later. So I thought, he's going to take Xhaka off. Or take off Jack, or take off Mesut. You know, we've got a lot of games. Going to be some rotation. No, he takes off Lacazette. Brings on Coquelin. Well, we'll get to the sub thing and Laka coming off and games and whatever afterwards. Wasn't the sub I would have made. I can see arguments for. Josh made a very good one in our chat, but we'll get to that in a bit. But I thought, sensible management, at least to a degree, trying to shut up shop. Coquelin comes in, Alexis up top. And we then start to panic, Josh. This is oh so typically Arsenal. 3-1 up, just keep the ball, play it out nice and tidy. Only, 15 minutes to go. And we nearly threw the game away.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. It was just a bit... I think Coquelin coming on was a decent... Screw it. Jace isn't here. Coquelin coming on was the best substitution we could have made at the time. it wasn't. It wasn't. I'd have brought on Elneny or someone like that. But maybe Welbeck. But I think with what we were crying out for at that moment in time was a third man in midfield. And when you look at the bench and where the players have been playing recently, Coquelin was one of the biggest, one of the best options that was on the bench, so what we had available. So I wasn't too I wasn't too annoyed by that. And as you say, we'll go to Lacazette in a bit about how he came off, but I think with that defensive reorganization and going back to a midfield circa 2009 youth FA Cup run with Coquelin and Jack, then it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But I think with pushing Xhaka up, then yeah, that's where we saw him get that injury, because he then was pushing up as Alexis moved to the kind of tip of that attacking three. It's getting pretty nervy, and I thought we needed to add an extra body into that midfield. And at 3-1 up, sacrificing a striker with 70 minutes to go when you've only got one fit striker in the squad seems like a pretty logical move.
Yeah, I can see that, and we'll get more in depth. I know there's a lot of questions about Lacazette and being subbed off and stuff that the chat box aren't happy about, and most of our fans aren't happy whenever Lacazette gets subbed off. Danny, like I said to Josh, we started to invite more pressure. Palace obviously were looking for a goal. They brought on Bakary Sakho came on. They'd already brought on McArthur. Yeah, and again, you know, we'd seen already earlier in the second half and once or twice in the first half, Zaha really got at Callum Chambers. He hadn't been offered much support. Coquelin comes on, so I think, yeah, okay, he's going to help out. Yeah, he really didn't. And for the last 10 minutes of the game, it was give the ball. All Palace did was give the ball to Zaha and run at Callum Chambers. I'm not digging Callum Chambers out. He's not going to stand a chance in a race against Wilfred Zaha. And our team just stood off him. We were letting the players just run into our 18-yard box, walk around all over the place wherever they wanted. You know, and eventually they got a goal from it. But why are we doing this? Why is no one telling the team to push up a little bit or, you know, just anything sensible?
Because if it has the word defence or defending it, Wenger's, I do not know. I do not understand these words. That seems to wash his hands a bit, completely discussed. Steve Bold. Steve, what do we do, Steve? And he goes, what are you asking me for? I'm only here to wear silly hats. I'm not allowed to speak. That's not in my contract. So why we do it, I don't know. Because you would think, like Josh was saying, it was the logical thing to do. I mean, Lacazette must have gone off and gone, fuck me, is there any French player at this club who isn't going to come on for me at some point during the season? I mean, you could see that Ospina was down the embassy trying to get himself a French passport so he might get the odd game. But it's the right thing to do. But fuck me, he didn't look happy. It looked like someone just stamped on his snail sandwich and told him it's Christmas. Well, 50% right, weren't they? Yeah, these things you have to do because although we have Walcott on the bench, Walcott is not someone you can rely on to score goals. The rumour on the streets, according to the kids and the youths that know, is that Walcott could be going back to Southampton now that they've got £500 million for an average player. All they're worrying now about is his contract and the money that he wants. I don't know, really rate him. I mean, if he's going to go for £75 million, it won't be long before they'll be swapping clubs for players.
They can, but they've say, this is completely off the subject of the game. Jace is going to fucking murder me. £75 million for Van Dijk and what, £40 million for the Oxlade-Chamberlain. Yeah, right, you might not agree with the fees. Whatever, that's just the way football is right now. They're going to sell Coutinho to Barcelona and they'll still have money left over from doing those two deals as well. So, it's just the way football is at the moment.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And in a way, I'm glad we're not delving into that pain. Just crazy money for anybody. Because one day, when the bubble bursts, we're all going to be going around and they'll be paying us to go to games. Anyway, so, we can't rely on Walcott to score the goal. And a Southampton fan told me that they want a new striker in the club within a week. And so it could be, I'm surprised Theo didn't come on for the last couple of minutes just to say goodbye to everybody. Because I'm not sure when our last game is. But they had to be done. And as for the defending, I don't know what goes on with that lot. You would have thought that Mustafi would do a little bit more shouting. Maybe Chamberlain is Chambers isn't going to listen to him. But Chambers worked really hard tonight. And a couple of times he was hung out to dry by Bellerin, who you'd have thought if you want anybody. Remember when we were playing four at the back and we were roommate, people said, oh, we want to play three at the back with wing backs. You thought, oh, Bellerin's going to be let loose. Not only can he do the defensive part, but he's going to do the attacking part. No, he's only doing the attacking part, isn't he?
The goal they scored, Tompkins, you know, it's nothing flash. It's simple. It's from a corner. The marking is just...
What marking?
So the weird thing is I have this false perception, as I think a lot of Arsenal fans do, that we're bad from set pieces. I do actually think we are bad from set pieces, but somehow we've got one of the best defensive records from set pieces in the league. I think that's only like our third goal we've conceded from a set piece, something stupid like that.
And we've got the second most number of clean sheets behind Man United.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. But so it was Tompkins, wasn't it, who got the goal. Gets the jump on Koscielny and Mustafi, which is ridiculous. Gets the run on both of them as well. This is what you get with zonal and people not passing the man's over properly on their zone. I hate it. But even building up to that, the amount of times that, you know, Zaha or Mihailovic or Townsend, Benteke, anyone was just standing behind Bellerin and Chambers, who had gone out to chase down whoever was ever on the left-hand side for Palace. And they were just standing in like 10 yards of space, just completely acres. And
then they could holes to run into.
Yeah, there were so many big holes and they were just passing so easily in the box. I honestly thought they were going to end up getting, you know, the third goal and get the equaliser because I think their record recently, they've been getting like loads of goals in the last 10 minutes of games.
I think it was four.
Yeah, so, I mean, in the end, great, we got the win, very good. But again, defensively, just really poor. And the problem is that I keep seeing in games is first half, I thought we were very good. We were compact. I thought we defended well. We went forward very well. We looked fluid. Second half dipped off a little bit. Again, we're not doing things in games for 90 minutes or, you know, being like exceptional for 60 minutes and then playing okay for 30, which we'll see you through most Premier League games. But we can't complain too much because we did get a win. And it's only our third away win of the season, I think. Is that right? Yeah, which is weird. Although we did win away at Burnley, which is looking pretty good at the moment with where they are in the league. You know, happiness all around. Plus, I got some prediction points because I've been useless out of this season. I predicted 2-3.
Oh, no, you didn't pick Mustafi though, did you?
No, I picked Zaha, I think, first goal. Mm. Yeah. Who did Cole pick?
I shall have a look. You can talk.
Coquelin, probably.
Coquelin, yeah. Now, lots of people in the chat box. I know you've got questions and stuff. There's a couple of more things I just want to go through before we do get to those.
Zaha. We put Zara.
All right.
Princess Zara of Noddyland.
Josh, I know you mentioned it already a little bit, but the Lacazette thing. As I was watching the game tonight, I was like, he worked very hard. I thought that, you know, a couple of times he worked himself some space to get a shot off and he couldn't quite hit the target, that kind of thing. And he had that exceptional shot with his left foot from a very tight angle, which led to Mustafi's goal. But he's getting subbed early in games. There's maybe some reasons you can go into for that as the state of the squad at the moment and the injuries and stuff. But do you think we're using him to his best? You know, are we getting the most out of him? Is it the support behind him or is he just still adapting to the league? Because I think there's a few people who were extremely excited about him, but now they're a little bit more cautious about how well he's going to work out with us.
Yeah, I think as alluded to earlier, there is an issue with the fact that he's come from a team where everybody around the club has known him for at least a decade. So he's got a good, decent relationship with the creative members of that team. We saw, you know, in the couple of seasons prior, the kind of relationship he had with Fekir. And that's not really a relationship you can generate within 5 months. I think there's a couple of things that we need to have a look at. His relationship with Alexis Sanchez. This isn't me calling Alexis out on anything. I'm not the best placed person to be a fan on Alexis. I haven't been for a good number of seasons. But if you just look at how many passes occur between the two, Alexis won't generally pass it into Lacazette, because it's not in his interest of scoring a goal. Because he's selfish, which is a twofold, a good and bad thing. You know, he wouldn't have scored nearly 30 goals. What was it, 30 goals last season he scored?
31
or so. But he wouldn't have scored those goals if he wasn't a selfish player.
Yeah.
And when you've got someone like Giroud up front who's happy to play that layoff with you, then you can do that and you can get those goals. But Lacazette is also a player that he is selfish. He wants to score goals. So playing it into him isn't going to necessarily result in the same thing that Alexis wanted. There's been similar things across other league where you can see that being a problem. Have a look at, you know, the most selfish winger I can think of, Cristiano Ronaldo, and that Benzema has to play 1-2s with him. That's what makes Benzema so good, is the fact that he's not selfish. He is selfless in that respect. If you look at the French national team, Ribéry never got on with Henri or Anelka because they are selfish, and so is he. He wants to score. So I think that's the problem that he's got. He needs to really get that relationship with him set. I don't think he's really adapting to the league that's the problem. I think it's the adapting to players, because he's never really had that issue at Lyon. Because if Lyon sold a player from the wing or wherever from that attacking corner, someone came through the youth academy who ultimately would have played with Lacazette at some point.
Yeah.
But now he's moved into a brand new situation. And I think that's the problem that we're looking at now, that he's just got to adapt. And I think it just requires patience. As much as we've been patient with, say, Jack through his dry spell or not, I think we've just got to be patient with Lacazette as well. Taking him off in the 70th minute, I think across it has been part of that, just to try and bed him into the team, but also, you know, keep him fresh, because ultimately this is a lot of games that he's playing at the moment for us. in quick succession in a period of the year that he's not used to playing games in an unfamiliar league. So I think when it comes to the end of this season, I think that's when we'll see him truly click with those players. What we really need to do is at least hold on to one of those two that sit behind him in Alexis or Ozil, because if he's got to go through the same thing again next season, then we're going to have the same conversation and we're going to start having fans calling him a flop. And I don't think that's good for anybody, because we know he's supremely talented.
Yeah.
And after speaking to a Lyon fan earlier, this was exactly what she was saying as well, was, you know, he needs time. He needs players around him that are going to play for him as opposed to pay for themselves. And that he just needs that understanding. You saw the fact he was caught on his heels constantly when the ball was coming into the box. That just comes from learning and dealing with in-match situations. You can't deal with that outside of the game, really, because you've seen how we defend. You know, you can't replicate that in-game situation.
That's true.
So I would, you know, I'm happy to keep it with where we're at. He's technically our top scorer, I think, with 8 goals. So he's not doing badly. I just think there was perhaps the expectation that came through was perhaps a little too high at the time. But
yeah,
give him a season. You know, we can go back through various different players that Arsene's brought in during his time that we can say, look how long it took them to bed in, you know, Pires, Ozil to are as part of that as well more recently. I think, yeah, there's plenty of players that we can cite and say, give them a season to really get in, deal with organising in that system. Because I think it's more important as well in an Arsenal system to understand what your teammates are doing. If you're playing a more direct game, you don't really need to have that greater relationship with the rest of your team. They can roughly know what's going on with that. So I think that's another problem, that you've got to understand everyone's little nuances in their game. And he just needs to learn that, really.
Yeah. I do understand some people have criticised him a little bit at times and, you know, only scoring goals at home, that kind of thing. And there's the other side of people obviously don't want to see him subbed off in games. It annoyed me tonight. But again, when, you know, like yourself and a couple other people pointed out, he is basically our only fit striker. You know, we've got Danny Welbeck, who love Welbeck, but he's going to run all day and work really hard for you, but he's not exactly a prolific goal scorer. Theo Walcott the same, is hit and miss, maybe leaving the club anyway. You've got to try and keep Lacazette fresh. Again, lots of questions, but keep firing away. Danny is taking note of them and I shall start asking them. Just one more thing before we do. Danny.
Yes.
Would you like to wax lyrical about Jack Wilshere again, or do you think you said enough?
Well, no, you can never say enough about someone who has been through so much turmoil. That was his fourth Premier League game he started in a row, I think, and that was the most he's done in 4 years. I don't think enough credit is going to a player who everyone said, that's it, done and dusted, on the scrap heap, get rid of him. He was at Bournemouth, and Bournemouth are shit. He did nothing there. And he's come back. And if that was any other player, they'd be in the papers every other week bitching and moaning. Oh, I'm an England international. I'm one of the best players at the club. Like, he doesn't. He puts pictures of him going ice skating with his kids. He's a completely reformed character. He's in negotiations at the moment, according to Sky News, Sky Sports, with a new contract. And I'd say to him, Jack, whatever you want, you can have it. Because if he's going to continue to play the way he is playing now, and then tonight when we brought on Cock, I thought, oh, it'd be nice to see how they're going to work in the midfield three. So Jack moved out to the right a little bit, but being left-footed, I thought he'd have gone to the left-hand side. And one telling thing about the new Jack, that at one point, someone was running down the right wing with a ball. Ozil was running into space in the box. And rather than being a selfish midfielder, Wilshere just held back a little bit. He didn't run in there to try and give him the ball. He's laid back a bit and he watched it. And what Jack is doing now, he's scored a goal, he's getting assists, he's cementing himself in the first team, albeit because Ramsey is out injured. But I think when Ramsey comes back, I'd love to see a Ramsey Wilshere midfield together. And it just really is good that when my favourite player at the club is coming back, and I said all the way through, I believe that he can do it, and he's going to do it. And he's shown that he's going to do it. I've been poisoned by water.
Water's bad for you, mate. I keep telling you this.
Terrible. I should get some of Sean's Kvossier. No, I don't know. The one that tastes of marzipan.
Okay, we'll get to some of the questions now. We've got one from the Wolves and the Hedgehog. Why can't the... I see. It's you, Danny. Hang around with you. I was about to say Wenger. Why can't Wenger...
Yeah, because if you read a W, you say it as a W. I should put it as a V.
Why can't Wenger read Lacazette and see how hard he works to keep him on the pitch when he needs that goal? I'd rather he took Xhaka off. I think we kind of already answered that. I do get the argument, and he was very, very upset, clearly. I don't think it's him... Yeah, obviously he's frustrated at the manager, but I think he's annoyed that he didn't score a goal in the game and he would like to stay on and get a chance. But I think Josh made a really good point that, you know, you've got to keep him fresh because we've got a lot of games and he's going to have to play in a lot of these, and he's not used to playing that many games, especially this time of year.
You could add another thing as well on that, yeah. That I don't think Alexis was going to give the ball to anybody at that point when he was on a hat trick. He was going to score a hat trick irrespective of what would happen. So we needed a midfielder to come on, and it makes sense from a couple of reasons.
Yeah, that is true. If anything, I think there probably should have been some more subs a little bit earlier to protect some other players as well, just with the number of games you've got coming up. But yeah, one for you, Josh, from Turnit Surprise 88. If Xhaka is injured, who would you replace him with?
Elneny is who I'd bring in. I wouldn't play Maitland-Niles because if we've got that question, I might be using him elsewhere on the field regarding a certain right wing back.
Ooh, okay.
That's who I'd bring him in for.
Daggers for Bellerin. one for you, Danny, from N235100. Do we need a goalkeeper, centre back, or central defensive midfielder more? Not including the Alexis Ozil issue. So which one of those three do you think we need more?
Well, our very own Colonial Cannon, Jason, who is not plagiarising, he's telling liars. What is it? The technical word for that.
Libeling you?
He's libeling me in the chat window saying that I was slagging
Wiltshire. Is libeling a word? I don't know.
I think it is. It's libel. Yes. It's absolute untruths. But at Colonial Cannon, if you go there and he's done a tweet today and it says, would you like any combination of players? And I went a centre-back and a defensive midfielder. So they're the two that I want. But if I had to pick out of the two, it's hard because you can think, who are you going to want to move on? So I think it's going to have to be a centre-back because I don't think Wenger has enough faith in Big Bob or Chambers. Purr's leaving. Koscielny, as we know, has got his injury problems. And Mustafi's beard needs regular trimming. So after that, I don't think... I've probably forgotten one of our defenders, haven't I? In fact, I did an Arsenal quiz the other day. You had to name all the players that have ever played at the same time as Henry. I think it was Henry, and I missed out Perez. There was like 160 players, and I missed out Perez. So, take on my China there, doesn't it?
I got flashbacks from Ozil's chance that he tried to cut across of that Henry Perez penalty. Just thought, you've overplayed that. Especially when Henri then in the skybox says, oh, the problem is Arsenal is too cute when it comes to chances. No, but fuck off, mate. Glass houses and all of that bollocks.
I was there the day they did that. Wasn't it against Newcastle or someone like that?
I was going to say Wigan, but yeah, some shit team from the north.
I remember, you do. And they went, oh, and neither of us did it. And then it was all over. They were trying to copy the Dutch bloke. Who did it? Cruyff did, wasn't it? Cruyff and someone else did it.
Cruyff and Van Basten or something like that might have been. I can't remember. Yeah, it's definitely the Dutch fancy bastards. Right, we're going to try and rip through these questions as quick as you can. From that black guy, favorite non-Arsenal goal scored in 2017. I'll give you 2 a minute. So I'm going to give mine now. It was very recent, and it was by Kevin De Bruyne. I know everyone's going to go, "Ooh, Man City." The reason I loved it is because Dele Alli tried to break his ankle just before that, and he got up, got on with it, which is amazing because that tackle was disgusting. He should have been banned for 10 games for that. That's fucking assault. And he got up, run the length of the pitch, and fucking hammered it in, and Lloris couldn't even get his flappy hands on it. Anyway, I was, oh. So I was against Spurs, and he made Dele Alli look like a tit. And he's a wonderful ginger little prince. I don't know. He's great. I wish he was at Arsenal.
Jose Reject, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I love a Jose Reject. Danny, what's your favourite non-Arsenal goal?
Any against Spurs. There you go.
Josh, I assume you have a proper answer.
Yeah, Solly March versus Wigan, because it took them to the Premier League and I was there and I stormed the pitch because I'm mad like that.
Yeah.
No, that
Josh,
was
a, Josh
that was
is a closet goal. Brighton fan.
I don't think there's anything closet about it, to be fair.
Shouldn't use the word Brighton and closet in the same sentence.
No, exactly.
Hate crime!
Right, Danny. West London goon. Does anyone else think this Wenger... Oh, fuck's sake. Does anyone else think this Wenger record games thing is just ridiculous? For anyone who didn't know, he equaled the... Was it Premier League number of games?
Yeah.
That's Alex Ferguson. 810 games. He's
or 910. Or...
Yeah.
Because it's bullshit. Because it's because he was there. If it was top league, the top flight in English football, then maybe. But yeah, Ferguson was there long before him. And well, at least now that he's done it, we can count that as a trophy, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he doesn't drop dead or get fired before West Brom, we've got another trophy.
Hey.
Does that go in our cabinet next to all the other calendar year trophies that are now officially trophies?
Oh, God. It goes in there with the Intertoto Cup that we didn't win and the Makita tournament. Goes right up there on the bottom shelf behind the one they stole from Pivory Corner.
Josh, question from Loki73. When is the time, if any, to get pissed off with sixth place, or are we just going to accept it?
I think it's when Burnley come fifth. That's when I'll get pissed off.
Oh dear. Yeah.
I'm not too angry about it, because if we end up, you know, doing a full Man U and winning the Europa League, then whatever. What does it matter? We'll still get a gazillion pounds from TV money anyway.
That is a very good point. Oh God, some nonsense started playing on the website. Go away. Yeah, what were you? We're level on points with Spurs, 1 point behind Liverpool. We're in fourth and five off Chelsea. So we're hardly trailing behind the top four. Man City are basically playing in their own league at the moment just for fun.
It's just them and Celtic, isn't it?
Every...
Didn't hear that in the AC Jimbo podcast. Someone said they could lose every Premier League game from now until the end of February and they'd still be top.
They've also got another mad one as well, that if they... I think if they win their next game and then don't win a single other, they'll get more points. They'll have more points than when they finished fourth like two seasons ago or something mad.
I think said last season they have more points than they did last season.
Yeah.
It's
they can just make this shit up now and we believe it. It's because just no one cares anymore.
the weird thing is that Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham are all doing about what's expected. For like a normal season, for the last couple of seasons, for what they've all been doing. It's just that Man City are doing so well, you just can't keep up with them. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Danny, one for you. Oh, God, I've lost where were we? Carl Palmer, on a positive note, what is the best case realistic scenario this coming January transfer in regards to transfers in and outs?
That Sanchez and Ozil stay, and they both agree new deals. All of these things are possible. I don't see anybody coming in because it's...
He said realistic scenario.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. a realistic Ozil signs a new deal. Sanchez will stay and go on a free because Man City don't need him at the moment. They don't want to do that thing that they did many years ago when they bought that bloke. What was his name? He's a Tampa Bay Rowdy. He's English bloke.
Joe Cole.
No, he used to do... he's about 60-odd now. He used to do Sky Sports all the time. Oh, I can never remember his name. Man City bought him when they were loads of points clear back in the 70s. And he was a flair player. And they bought him and then they messed it up. And then they didn't end up winning the title. But I look back from my history books and it's because their goalkeeper got injured. Their number one keeper. That's why they lost. It wasn't his fault. Someone might want to do Rodney Marsh. There you go, Dan. Dan. I was watching Alan Partridge last night.
Yeah. They don't want to do a... who was it Newcastle bought when they threw the league away?
That'd been Faustino Espria.
Yeah, that's it.
Certainly was. A similar thing, yeah. But and Rodney Marsh often talks about it and says that it was his fault. Well, it wasn't his fault because the goal, their number one keeper got injured. So, I don't think we'll sign anyone because Wenger is known for not signing anybody unless that Stats DNA people buy him and then he doesn't play them and gets rid of them a year later.
Or if their back's broken.
He got Arshavin in January, didn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think that was Stats DNA.
No.
We got Adebayor in January as well, didn't we? And Reyes.
Quite a few good ones, but not lately. I don't understand if we're going to sign anybody. I do think
that there is a chance Ozil stays.
Yeah, so I honestly do think there is, and I'd love it if he did.
Yeah. One for you, Josh, from Enenguna. Would Chambers and Holding benefit from a loan, provided he was assured he was future with the club, or does he need to get more games here at Arsenal? I think it's more on Chambers, but also Holding is there in brackets.
I think Chambers benefited from a loan deal last season and has come back to the team as a better player. We've got enough games this season to play. I think the guys on the main pod, especially Danny, was surprised how many games Bob Holding has played this season. Yeah, and that's all in the Europa League mainly. Mm. And he also started the season because someone was injured, and I can't remember who, probably Koscielny. He started the season for us in one of the centre-back positions, along with Mertesacker. So I think with Mertesacker going at the end of the season, Koscielny, another year older, we kind of discussed a little bit before about how our centre-backs have got a little bit of a generation gap at the moment. So we do need to bring another one in. But if we're going to be jumping between three at the back and two at the back, then I would like to keep those two at the club because they offer that kind of diversity we've seen. And it's always good to be tactically adaptable because, you know, we've been crying out for it for ages. And we've actually got a squad that you can really do anything you want with. And ultimately, I think is kind of coming to how Wenger wants to leave the squad when it comes to his end game is with a team that the next manager can pick up and do what they want. Unlike what Fergie did once we had that left a team that was basically crippled. It was like he left a burning house and was like, all right, there you go. Deal with that.
To be fair, he did win the league with that team as well, which is just says how ridiculously talented he was as a manager.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did leave a complete and utter mess. Couple more and then we'll wrap this up because we've been going for just over an hour now. Another one from Turn It Surprise. Is it me or is Danny looking more like Uncle Albert every day? We're going to start a GoFundMe just so we can get one of those fancy hats for him. He does. Oh, I love it. I miss old Uncle Albert. It's great when they got all the money, they got him a boat and then he sunk on it and died, didn't he?
Did he die in the show?
I think that's how they killed him off in the show, didn't they? When they got the pocket watch and he got all the money. Wasn't that how they did it?
I can't remember. I often wondered how they wrote him out.
Yeah, because they got all the money, they had the big mansion, and I'm sure they got him a boat, and there's a scene where he's going down the Thames and then you hear a this is about to crash into something.
Oh, yeah, probably.
We've got a question from Ross from the Football Hipsters. Go check them out. Apparently it's quite a good podcast. Not as good this season because, you know, one of the stars hasn't been on, but, you know, he's been busy. I'll give it to you, Danny. How do you think Theo Walcott will do if the Saints deal comes off?
Yeah, that's who I was talking to earlier when I said a Southampton fan. It's Ross, who's a chum of all of ours. If he goes there, I think he'll do well because he will be guaranteed he'll be the best player at the club and he'll play in whatever position he wants to play because there's no way he's going to go there and do an Arsenal and play out wide or play out front when he doesn't want to. And it'd be nice to see because I do quite like Southampton, even though they do keep beating us. So it's probably because I'm related to Matt Letizia a little bit down my family tree. I think I have to like Southampton. But yeah, so it'd be nice to see him there. And I bet you he'll go there, like you were saying, when I plagiarised you on the same pod you were on, and then you pointed out it was you that had said it. But he's one of those players where he's going to go and get 10 or 15 goals a season at Southampton. He'll look good, and then we'll go, oh, why didn't he do that for us?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Some people don't quite cut it at the very top level. But yeah, I think he'd do well there.
He wasn't the first, and he won't be the last.
Rudy Rastlos, what do you think of the Liverpool deal with Van Dijk? We kind of already said that. I think for Liverpool, it's a good deal. They needed a new defender, a better one. He's played with Lovren before. The fee, is it ridiculous? Probably, but it's just what the prices are now. If they'd bought him from a club that wasn't in the Premier League, he's probably half the money.
Maybe not even.
And if it was between two clubs, in Germany or Italy, it's probably £15 million or something like that. It's just the way the Premier League is.
You could have got Alderweireld for a third of that price, by the way, because he's got a release clause. But I don't know. Maybe we'll just do that instead.
There you go. Premier League clubs and release clauses.
Yeah.
Aren't they actually technically illegal in the Premier League or something weird like that?
Don't know. I thought it was the other thing that's illegal. Third-party ownership. Oh, Not that stopped Man City.
No. Yeah, that, I think that's illegal as well. But yeah, well, we saw that with Liverpool, didn't we?
It's only illegal if your lawyers are shit.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with that, if you've got a release clause, then Tottenham would just take him to court and it just get drawn out forever and he'd never end up there. So it's a waste of time trying to do that kind of thing.
Just looking up how much they paid for him. Celtic paid 2.6 million.
Oh, well, they're getting a big chunk of money, aren't they?
£7.5 million they're getting. Yeah. Oh, they paid £13 million for him in September 2015. And he's done nothing but bitch and whine.
I don't know if it's still the same, but it used to be the standard was that players would get 10% of whatever their fee was as a signing on thing. Because my cousin, he moved about loads of different clubs. He wasn't a great footballer, but he went from Chelsea and Man City and Norwich and wherever else. So he ended up making a load of money just from all his transfer fees. And it used to be the standard then was about 10%. So if it is, he's just got himself £7.5 million if it's still the same.
It's probably on that per week though, isn't he? But Ross has said he's done good riddance. He's been shit all season and he's been nothing but a pain in the arse.
But yeah, it would be nice if Arsenal went for these some players, not necessarily him, but yeah, I think we have to shop in a different market sometimes. Last couple of questions, then we're done. Michael Hahnemann asks, players you'd give a deal to out of those whose contracts are expiring and those you'd be happy to see leave. We can all have a quick go on this. Danny, you did the other night about players who've only got a year or whatever so left on their contract. The first two, I wouldn't even bother talking to Ozil and Alexis. I'd go up to Ozil and say, you can have, I don't know, what is it, 300 grand a week he wants. If we've got the money for it, just say, you can have 300 grand a week, sign a 4-year deal. If you're not going to leave, don't care. Just give it to him once, one offer, if he doesn't walk out. The next two I'd concentrate on immediately would be Aaron Ramsey, because he's only got a year left. If he doesn't want to stay, you still try and get him to sign a deal, because you can get good money for him. Despite what some people think of him, he's a highly rated player all around Europe, and you'd make a lot of money off him. And the other one would be Jack Wilshere. Again, same, even if you don't see a future for him at the club, get him to sign a deal because you can make a lot of money off selling him because he's English. They would be the first ones I'd look at straight away. As for the rest, I don't think there's as much of a concern, to be honest, but they're the big ones for me. Danny?
I'd have said Giroud to that. And I Gimli was going a bit mental at people in the week who were laughing and saying it's good that Giroud's injured. One knock to send to Lacazette and we're fucked. So yeah. I really like Giroud as a player. He's a team man and he gives us plan B and he's got a good beard.
Yeah. I mean, all of these are obviously in mind with we then actually go out and spend some money and replace players if they leave and whatever. Josh, is there anyone else you'd like to add from the squad?
Well, Santi's ends at the end of this season, I think, as well. So I think but is that including his 1-year option? I'm not sure.
I think he's on his 1-year option, isn't he?
Yeah. Okay. If he is, I'd like him to join Per in the big house of the academy because I think that's the perfect kind of place for him, really. Mm-hmm. If he's going to have to be forced into retirement, if not, there's a certain check that I'd like to come in and be around the club. Another player I'd also that we haven't really talked about that's coming up close for renewal, Danny Welbeck and Petr Cech. Both end in 2019.
And Monreal.
Monreal less so because he'll be 32, 33. And I think by that point, you know, that's quite an old defence we've then got to us. And I think we need to start shipping some of those out. But
I don't think I'd give Cech another deal.
I'd be inclined to give him a deal that was a coach deal so we can finally get the windmilling Gardner or whatever it is out of that club and bring in another goalkeeper. Hopefully someone that currently plays for Stoke. That'd be quite nice.
Tell me that Cech has already conceded more goals for Arsenal in 3 seasons than he did at 10 for Chelsea or something like that.
I think that was a bollocks stat, to be fair.
I don't know if it's true or not. I've got no idea. It's probably made up. Although, to be honest, it wouldn't surprise me. You look at that Chelsea defence he had in front of him with Carvalho and Terry and then like Essien and Lampard and everyone. They had like the just best 11 shithouses in the league. Who, if the other team was going to score, Carvalho would just come and kick you in the head and then say to the ref, I didn't see him, I was just falling over. And he'd somehow get away with it. That guy's amazing. But yeah, they'd be the ones for me. Right, last three questions, and then we should be done. Stephen Edwards, I'll take this one. Is there any logic you can tell as to why and when Kolasinac starts? Seemingly, it just means on formation. Arsene said today, I think, that he's not a left back. I think that was a direct quote. I don't know if it's a little bit different or he worded it slightly different, but he basically said he's not a left back, and he didn't say he didn't trust him there, but he obviously doesn't see him as one, so I think he'll only start games if we're playing the back three. Maybe eventually, he'll come in as a left back, or maybe Arsene's looking at one of the younger kids to come in there at some point and be a backup. I really don't know. I do think it's a little bit strange. I know wing back is different to playing as fullback, but I'm sure he can adapt with some coaching. But yeah, less said about coaching and the fencing in our club, the better. Michael Hanneman, your manager for the next two games, West Brom and Chelsea, back three or back four, Danny?
I'm just thinking they're just going to probably play Morata up front. It depends on where Hazard's going to play. If he's going to play off the front man, then I'd probably want three centre backs. But if Hazard's playing wide, then I'd probably play four. So, probably best to go with three at the back. And those three, they look pretty good tonight at times. As long as no corners come in or no one runs at them, we should be fine.
Same for West Brom as well, back three for that.
Don't need any defenders against West Brom. Just have Cech on his own and just play the rest up front and beat them 17-0.
Then we
can all have a whip round for Gibbs at half time to get him some antidepressants, poor bloke, because he's probably thinking, what the fuck am I doing here?
Josh, back three or back four for West Brom and Chelsea?
West Brom, oh God, it's Pardew's there now, isn't he? Imagine they managed to find the only other manager within English football that you could hate more than Tony Pulis.
I like Pardew.
Well, you're a twat.
Because he played for Barnet. Come on, the bees.
I'm going to keep that. You're a twat, Danny. No one likes Alan Pardew as much as Alan Pardew likes Alan Pardew.
Gav likes Pardew.
Oh, God. Doesn't that say everything? West Brom, I would play a four at the back. They're going to have a load of massive players that are going to be coming in there. And yeah, I'd play that for them, and then Chelsea three at the back. Yep. I'd go for, because I think we did quite well when you match them up like for like. I expect Hazard to play up with Morata because Morata has shown in his short time here. And if you've watched him at Juve, he cannot deal with another player or cannot deal with being on his own up front. He needs a player next to him. He needs a big man, little man.
Yeah. I think I agree with Josh there. I go with that. Although I'm not against changing formation over and over again between games, but I do think at some point you've got to try and settle. But with our injuries and stuff to the squad, I think you have to rotate a little bit. We got like Chelsea like three times in 2 weeks, I think, shoot, haven't we? Right, last question. Not related to the game, of course. Nothing to do even with Arsenal, I guess. SRBO Rasic, I've got no idea how you're supposed to say that. Does anybody see City losing this season? Very lucky. Danny, do you see City losing this season?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they already have lost this season.
The Champions League, right? Yeah, they will do, because when they are playing Champions League quarterfinal, FA Cup game, league game, and then that's rotating, and that's going to start taking their wear and tear on their players. We saw that Kompany limped off again with his calf or hamstring issue, whichever one he's got.
I just put him in my fantasy team.
After about less than 10 minutes, maybe. Then you're going to get the Aguero always gets injured at some point during the season. And then just the second half of last season, De Bruyne kind of wasn't as good as he was in the first half of the season, because he was magnificent, scoring a goal or an assist virtually every game or every other game. Eventually, the goalkeeper is going to get found out and kill someone, because he looks like he's from some South Central LA gang, and he's going to just shank someone from a corner. They won't go all season, because at some point someone's going to go in and smash them up. Or they might get us on a really good day.
That's true. Yeah, they've got to play us at the Emirates. That's true. We could be the team to do it. Josh, do you think they'll lose a game in the league?
I've already I was talking to Chris about this, who I think they'd lose against. I've got Monday on either. Well, I think it would either be us, them up the road.
God, we're deluded, aren't we?
Or Leicester City.
Come on, then.
Leicester City have got that kind of thing in their locker, and they've got very close to beating City twice already this season. If they'd actually played a full-strength side in the Carabao Cup or whatever it is, they would actually have won that game. So that's where my money is probably on Leicester doing it. But yeah, as I say, I don't see them going unbeaten.
And if Vardy is in full Lady Garden mode, he is something to deal with. He is
give him about handful. 9 Red Bulls and a couple of
like Charlie.
Yeah, and he'll be fine.
Give him one of Kingley's cocaine suppositories. That'll sort him right out.
I was going to go with Pro Plus, but we went there.
As for me, do I see City losing? I don't know. They're playing ridiculous football. It's absurd. If they go unbeaten, I know some people said, oh, it overshadows ours and whatever, but I mean, it does. We've still got the unbeaten trophy. We've still done it. Whether they do it or not, if they do it and it's more points and they get more wins or whatever, so be it. Doesn't take anything away from our season. And, you know, there'll be... It's the same as anything. Records are there to be broken, and they will do eventually. Everything gets broken by somebody. I never thought I'd see Ian Wright's goal scoring record get broken, and then not long afterwards, Thierry Henry comes along and does it. Unbelievable.
And he fucked off and left us.
Yeah, he fucked off.
It's pronounced Serbo, apparently.
Ah, Serbo. Apologies.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see with City. All I would say is, you know, we're not going to challenge for title, so. You know, don't moan and belittle them. Just enjoy watching them play football because it's nice, exciting football to watch. And, you know, they've got to play Tottenham again. And Tottenham just tried to kick them off the park. So City kicked Harry Kane in the face. That's great. What's wrong with that? Superb. And what a better way to end the show. Thank you, Josh, for coming on.
That's all right. It's a pleasure to be here as always.
Thank you, Danny, for joining us with your resplendent beard.
Nanu, nanu, cheeky monkeys.
And thank you for everyone in the chat box, brilliantly, as everyone's actually channeling up, especially over Christmas as well, because I'm sure you're all doing wonderful things with your family, and you're not at all trying to get away from them, which is why you're watching us. And that's why I'm doing it. We will be back for New Year's Eve game against West Brom. Is that home or away? Away, aren't
away.
We? Yeah, so that will be me and the Welsh warrior himself, Jason, and possibly Danny.
No, definitely.
And definitely Danny.
I've got other friends.
You'll have me and Danny waffling nonsense and Jason shouting at us and telling us
to shut up, you bastards. Shitty as. Listen, boy. That's it.
But that has been it. Make sure to catch up on yesterday's pod. It was a live one as well. So if you want to, you can watch on YouTube. And you could see Chris was back for the show. We had Gimli, obviously, and Danny. We also had the wonderful Canadian himself. He was on there as well.
Was that all good?
Yeah, and he was great. And you can see his Christmas tree in the background. And he looked all beardy and beautiful, our very own Jeff. So, yeah, go check that out. It was a very good show. And I hope to see you all for New Year's. I hope you all had a lovely Christmas. We'll be back New Year's Eve and see you then. Bye-bye.